about it.
She's still out of town. She's about to, she's still out of town.
Yes, she had, yeah.
Okay, let me tell you the plan. We did Philippians before we went our little trip, and then we did Colossians, and then we did Philemon that we did last week. And those are three of the four prison, what they call the prison epistles, because Paul wrote them during his first imprisonment. Now, he also wrote another one during his imprisonment, and that was to 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, but 2 Timothy was written during his second imprisonment. So his first imprisonment, when he was in the rented room, he wasn't in a dungeon, but he was chained to a Roman guard and relegated to that room. And he was there for, you know, a couple years or more, and during that time he wrote those four letters. And you remember Tychicus and Onesimus, that slave that was mentioned in Philemon, are the ones who delivered the letters, and they delivered them to Ephesus. And I assume they went to Ephesus first, dropped that letter off, and then went on to Colossae and dropped that letter off. And they may have dropped off the one to that was to Laodicea as well. We just don't have a copy of that one. They probably dropped that one off too, and then they were supposed to exchange those letters. And the one to the Ephesians, which is what we'll study next, we'll spend a little more time on Ephesians. It's a longer book. The one on Ephesians is the letter to Ephesians, it looks like it's written not to just the Ephesus church. It's like it's written to all the churches in Asia Minor, and that it was supposed to be a shared letter that was first taken to Ephesus, but later on distributed to other people. So you don't see as much direct subject matter to Ephesus. It also doesn't deal with direct issues. It's more generic kind of how to walk and live the Christian life than it is a specific thing like dealing with, you know, false teachings and that kind of thing that he did with the Colossians. So that's another thing. It's a little more generic. It doesn't seem to be specifically pointed just at the Ephesian church. It was definitely written to the Ephesians, but it was, I think, intended to go beyond that. So we'll look at a little more about that. What I want to do is today go through some pictures of Ephesus when we were there to kind of give you the feel and the layout and that kind of thing. And then next week, I assume if we take all day doing this. If not, we'll start today. But I want to go back to the book of Acts and revisit when we study the life of Paul and what happened in Ephesus so that you'll get the context of that. And then this would have been many years later then when he was in prison, probably about 10 years later, when he was in prison and wrote this letter to the Ephesians. And so we'll look at it. And so what I'll first do that first week, other than kind of do an overview of Acts, we'll start on an overview of the whole book. And to me, there's three main themes in the book, and they progress one to the next. We'll look at that and kind of do an overview of the book in that way. And then we'll start going through verse by verse through the book and dig into some of the specific things that are brought up in each chapter. So this is a scale model of Ephesus from back in the time of, well, it's actually from various times. Various buildings were built at different times. Ephesus was a long-term, fairly important city in the classical times, in the Roman times, in the Greek times. And it was a city for hundreds of years. So now in Paul's day, it would have been about the fourth largest Roman city. So it was pretty big. There have been four different cities of only three other cities of this size in the Roman Empire. So this was considered a large city. It was a port city. It's not today. If you go to the ruins of Ephesus, which I'll show you, it's not on the coast because, you know, the coast has changed, and it's a number of miles away from Ephesus now. But when Ephesus was thriving, it was a coastal town, and you can see the bay here, kind of the harbor for the ships that came into Ephesus. That's no longer there. That little harbor is gone if you go there today. But this is kind of the layout, and when I show you the pictures of of the ruins. We came in a door or a gate way over here, and then we walked down this main street here, and then made a turn, and then came this way, and then there's a museum and everything here, and so we went to that museum as well. And so these are all the ruins of Ephesus, kind of in that section of Ephesus that I'll be showing you. But this is what it kind of looked like back then. And so the harbor was here. This is up on a hill. Not as big as that hill, but it's bigger. It's hard to see in this little map, but it's on a little hill compared to the rest of the town. This is the Temple of Artemis, all right. And Ephesus was well known for their worship of Artemis. Artemis was the goddess of nature, the fertility. She was a virgin, she was the son of Zeus, who was the king of the gods. I mean, the daughter of Zeus, the king of gods, and she was a twin sister of Apollo, who was also a son of Zeus. So Apollo, the Roman name for her would be Diana, okay, but the Greek name is Artemis. And so since this is a Greek town, really, they kept using the name Artemis rather than the Roman name Diana. And Ephesus was extremely well known, probably if not the number one town that was affiliated with Artemis, at least one of the top two in the world. Artemis was very important to she was called the Lady of Ephesus. And so she had a big temple built here with an outer court and then the temple itself, and then a statue of Artemis was in this temple. And I'll show you a scale model of that too. That was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was so impressive. It was one of the seven wonders of the world back in Paul's day. So it was a big deal. It's no longer there. I think all they have left of this, it kind of got totally destroyed in a couple earthquakes. But one of these pillars, there's pillars all around the building, they reconstructed one of the pillars from pieces that they found. That's all they have, this temple, if you would go up there. We didn't even go up there. They didn't even take us up there. But that's all there is. I've seen pictures of it. It's just one little post, right, that they pieced together. Even that wasn't still standing. They just found the pieces and put it together so that you can kind of see where it was. So that's all that's left of it. This would be athletic facility, chariot races, that kind of thing over here. This is a theater, a huge theater, and the ruins of that are still there today. This is the Agora here, which is, the Agora is the shopping area. That's the main place where everyone gathers and does their shopping and that kind of thing. So it's usually a big open area with shops all around it. Okay, and so you can see there were pillars around, and then the open forum here in the middle of the agora, and then shops would have been all around that. There's a library that was built here, and you'll see ruins of the library. It's famous. I mean, everyone, if you see pictures of Ephesus, you'll see pictures of the library. All right, that wasn't there in Paul's day. That was built after Paul. So the library, it's the Library of Celsus, but that's no longer. That was not there. That was not built in Paul's day. So it came later. But a lot of this along this big street that along here was there when Paul was there. Okay, and I'll show you some of that. There's a long street here that kind of goes down this hill down to where the library and the gymnasium and temple was in there, and all a bunch of stuff that was in here. So I think that's the main things there you can see in that picture. And then this is a view of that model from the other direction. So, we're looking this way, and now I'm going to stand over here and look that way, where the harbor is right in the forefront. All right, so I just went around to the other side. So I'll go to this side where all these people are, look at, and we'll look at it again from that angle. Okay, so here's the ship, the harbor. This would be the port or the pathway from the harbor to the city. You would have a little agora or shopping area, kind of a gymnasium and all that kind of stuff here right near the harbor. I assume they'd do that for the sailors and and what have you. There's the Temple of Artemis, which was the famous temple, which was there. There's that hippodrome or whatever that was, that chariot racing. The theater, this is the Agora. You can see part of the Agora there, where the shopping area would have been. The library and all that's behind the posts, so you don't see it. So now I'm going around to the, I'm just moving from here, I'm on the same side, but I'm just moving further down so this post isn't in the way. And I took this picture then, and so there, so the little harbor is down here, and that's the pathway from the harbor. The Temple of Artemis would be over here somewhere. There's that big theater. And then here's the Agora, so you can see a little more of the Agora, what the Agora would have looked like, and there would have been shops all the way around it. And this had multiple, two stories. It had multiple stories, so it was kind of like a shopping mall in that sense of today. The library was right here, the Library of Celsus, but that wouldn't have been there in Paul's day. And then you'll see this is that street I was talking about that I'll show you the ruins from that. There was more here. This model doesn't show everything that was there. There were more buildings and all that along here. And then up here is another kind of gymnasium and agora and a shopping area in that end of town, if you will. This was the main one. This was a smaller one. And there's a little theater right here you can kind of see, and we'll see the ruins of that. It's not nearly as big as this one, right? That's more like a stadium. So the gladiatorial contest, that kind of thing, would have been done here. This theater would have been more for music and plays, and so it was more of a musical kind of thing. We'll look at that. Yeah.
Before you get, is this on this side of the Agora, is that a separate structure, or is that all part of the Agora?
Yeah, this is. I think this was like a bath and a gymnasium, which they would have right near the Agora. So you, when you're there shopping, Roman baths and restrooms, and we're all public, and I'll show you pictures of the restrooms. But anyway, there's not much left of the actual gymnasium. But this was probably a pool here in the center. It was, probably had shops in there too, but I think it was a combination of kind of a gymnasium and public bath and restrooms and then the shopping area. So I think that's what that is there. Okay, so here's a closer up picture of it. There again is that big stadium, and here's the Agora, the shopping area. And then, let's see, what does that say? 20, is that 20? What does it say 20 was? Oh, I haven't gotten there yet. 20, that says 20 is the stadium, so that's not right. What is it? Oh, this has different numbers, 7 and 8. So 8 would be Serapion. I'd have to look up what that is. It's the Serapion, okay? The 7's the Agora, and this is the Serapion. I'd have to look at that. If you want to Google it, maybe someone can look that up. Yeah. Now there are also bathrooms up here, and they're the ones I'm going to take pictures of. So you kind of saw that. There's a little close up of that area. So we came in to a gate over here, and we walked in here, and there's a lot of ruins laying around here, just junk. I mean, just pieces of pillars, pieces of sewers, pieces of just laying in the fields. There's no structures there. It's just like all the extra stuff that they found. They kind of piled it up in here. And then there's not much left of this agora either. That's here at number 6. I think that's another agora. Oh, this says it's that's again, the numbers are different. Okay, so what does that be? 2. Yeah, that's a gymnasium. So that's a gymnasium as well here, and kind of an agora. So that's why I was thinking this was the same kind of thing. This is just all bigger because this is the main one where there'd be a lot more people gathering. This would be the smaller one. This map just shows a kind of bird's eye view of it. So here's the harbor right here that you saw. There's the Temple of Artemis. You've got the stadium right there. Okay, there's the pathway up from the harbor. And this would all had structures there too. I mean, it'd be part of the city, all right, but they just haven't excavated all that yet. So there's the stadium, and then if you go, this is where we would have come in, and there's that a smaller agora and gymnasium, and then we walk down this street, and you can see there's side streets all along there back in the day that would have all had buildings, and all this would have been full of buildings and everything else. This is on a hill, and they haven't excavated all that, so I assume there's a lot more stuff they can find there if they keep their process going. So anyway, we walk down this street, and here's where houses were on the hill. And I'll show you pictures of some of the houses. They were really elaborate, so they were very well-to-do people. Probably a lot of them who had these big shops in the Agora and all that and lived there. And then you walk down this corner, and then there was the Library of Celsus was right here, which again wasn't there in Paul's day. Here's the Agora here, and Serapion, whatever a Serapion is, if you want to look that up. It's S-E-R-A and P-E-I-O-N. So S-E-R-A, P-E-I-O-N. So what's it say?
It's a temple or other religious institution dedicated to the Greco-Egyptian deity Serapis.
Oh, okay. So maybe it was more of a temple, but they probably had washrooms, and because it was near the Agora, they probably kind of used it as a combined. So you can go in there while you're shopping, you can go worship, you can go to the bathroom, you can go, you know, get cleaned up and take a bath. You know, so I think probably all that was in there, is my guess. So now we're going to go.
Roman soldiers in 391 and not rebuilt.
Yeah. So now we will, we came in over, down here. And we're going to walk then up here and then walk down this street and then over to the stadium right here. And then we went down this road and then up to here where there's now a museum. And again, this water isn't there anymore. It's just all land. But okay, so here's the small theater, and that was up here. The small theater was right on this side. Okay, that I said was the music theater or some such thing. It's called the Odeon. Okay, was the name of the theater, and it's more of a concert hall. That's what it says here, Odeon Concert Hall. So it's more of a, you know, for music and plays and that kind of thing, whereas the other was more for big events like gladiatorial contests or whatever. So this is the small little theater and the ruins of it that you can see. And of course, there would have been all these pillars lining the street, the whole way down the street. You'd have seen these elaborate pillars lining the street. So right now we're up here, and we're going to make our way down to there. So here's where that theater is. Down here's where the library is, and the agora. We'll get there, and then here's where all the residences were that I'll show. And there were shops there too. So there's the theater, and so this is just again showing you where we are. Here's another look of the theater, and you can see this is the street in front of the theater that we're going to walk down, going that way toward the library and everything, going to the left. And this is our guide. And then we actually had two guides on this because he was our guide, but he brought in an expert on Ephesus, and I think his picture's here in a minute. So this is still that little musical concert hall theater. And there's a little closer view. You can see these are seats here, and these are actually seats there too. It's not a wall, that's tiered seats. You just can't tell that here. I've come back out here onto the road, and the road's going to the, we're going to turn to the left. We came from the right, we're going to turn to your left, I mean, which I would turn right as I came out of that theater, if you will. And so now we're going to walk down the road. And see, this is the wall of a building, but then there's these pillars that would have lined the whole street. And so here's the ruins of the street. And I'm sure some of that was original. Some of that's probably been added. Just to give you a size of the scale, this is where the residences are. They're under a protected building so they don't deteriorate. And so that's that building that's been built over the top of them. But you can see that's a fair distance away. So it's further than it looked on that map is what I'm trying to say. So then as we continue to walk down here, this is, as I'm walking down the street, this is a bunch of ruins over to the right. And so you can see how far in they would go in the old days. There would have been these side streets with all these buildings along them and everything that you'd see. This was a kind of a temple and bath area as well, I think, in the old days. Now, some of these are just ruins that they've piled up. Some of them are things that were actually kind of standing there. And we're, again, still going down this street. This is the street we're on. And we're going to, there's the library right there. And that's where we're headed. There's the part of that building that's been built over the residences right here. So we're going to work our way down there. And here, these two pillars, I forget exactly what he said about these two pillars, but he said you're supposed to stand, put your hands, and touch each one. And so I took a picture of Sherry doing that. I forget what he said that you were doing that for. But anyway, there's the library. That's the famous picture that you'll see of the library here again, is that building that's built over the residences. And there's the pillars, the remains of the pillars along the road. And this road's kind of going downhill as we go. And there would have been shops and buildings and everything on either side. And then there's these side streets that would have been full of buildings too. But you can see this is kind of a hill, and they haven't excavated the stuff underneath that hill. They've excavated more on the other side, but even there's still room to do a lot more excavation. But you know, in archaeological stuff, excavations go really slow. They do it with almost little hand shovels, right? So it takes forever. So this, you can see how wide the street was. We're still going down. There's again the library down there. And there's that building that's over the houses. And now we're getting closer. There's the library. Here's the building that's over the housing area. Now they had two housing areas. One housing area they didn't have a building over, and there's not a whole lot in those ruins. I mean, they're there. You can see there were rooms, but there's not a lot of frescoes and all these things. In the second set that's underneath this, there are frescoes and paintings on the walls and all these beautiful things. And they just want to make sure they preserve those. And so they've built a building over the top of it. This is a temple. I forget what it was, a temple to, I think it was built by Hadrian or someone. I can't remember. One of the Roman emperors built this. And so I'm not sure this was standing in Paul's day. It might have been. This is a picture of what it looked like when it was complete. All right. And this is what's left of it. When they excavated it. Okay, so this is the fountain building. Okay, it was, okay, Tiberius Claudius Aristion was, and his wife are the ones who dedicated it. But that was in AD 102, so again, it wasn't there when Paul was there. It would have been, and it was the emperor, it was Trajan. It was that, okay. It wasn't Hadrian, it was Trajan who did that. And it was in honor, again, of Artemis of Ephesus, right? That's Diana, the Roman god, but the Greek name is Artemis. Okay, so this is what they call the terrace houses, because they're on that terrace, that hill. So as we're going on that road, they're to our left. And this is Terrace House 1. Now, what it was this big building, and this one isn't, you know, under protected roofing and all that, or at least all of it isn't. Some parts of it might be. But at any rate, what this is kind of almost as if it's one big building in the town, and each of the colors is a separate household. Okay? So it'd be kind of like condos or apartments or stuff like that, where you shared walls. And then there'd be an alleyway going on either side and on the back and then back down, and then the main street. To go to the Agora or to go to the show or whatever would be the one that goes right along here. And so you can see where we are. Here again is where we entered. There's that first theater area. And then we've walked down this road, and we are now where that red spot is. That's Terrace Houses 1. The one right next to it is Terrace Houses 2, which has the building over it. There's the library. Here's the Agora. There's that big big theater or stadium. All right, so you get kind of lay of the land. Here's the harbor, and there's the Temple of Artemis up here. Okay, so you kind of get the feel of where you are. So these are the set of houses. One, this is from the out in front of the houses. You can see the street here, and this is kind of like a street beside the street. It'd be kind of like the expressway and then the local area, or the old highway that used to, that's sitting right near the interstate kind of thing. I guess it'd be kind of like that, only this is walking. This isn't for, and so the street is over here, going up here, and this was then kind of a inset street in front of the houses, okay? And you can see how intricate the tiling and the diagrams were for these residences. And then these would be some of the walls, the old walls and rooms within the residences. And so this is what that terrace house looked like. If you would go in it, this is kind of the layout of the rooms. Again, this is where it is. There were some statues in there too, in some of these that were evidently statues within the residences that they found. And then this is the bath, which is now on the right side, kind of across from the residences. So they had a bath there as well. Okay, and so this is kind of where we are. The residents are here on the left, the bath is on the right, and this is the library. So you can see we're getting closer to the library. But this would be part of the entrance to the bath there. And there's looking at the entrance there to the bath. And then there's the toilets within the bath. So you didn't get a lot of privacy if you went to the bathroom. And this is a trench underneath here, which would go directly to the sewer line. Okay, and you can see the sewer line, especially when we're walking in toward that first theater. The sewer lines were still, they had excavated some of those, and you could see the sewer pipes and the sewer lines for the city as well. So some of them were still intact, and so this would, down here, would attach into the sewer lines. And so they'd be running water under there, flowing water. It wasn't like an outhouse pit. It was, you know, literally being cleaned as you did your business. So now we move on to Terrace House 2. So this bath was kind of right across the street, kind of in between Terrace House 1 and Terrace House 2. So it would have been very convenient to go across the street and take your bath or go to the bathroom or whatever. So this is in the early days, before they covered and everything. This is what the terrace house during the excavation part looked like on that hill. This is the road that you're going down toward the library, which is down here. And you can see this is on a hill, all right? And so they called them terrace houses because they were kind of built, on these terraces as they went. So that's when they first started. Then they built this building over it. Those are the ruins of Terrace House 1. What's under the building is the ruins of Terrace House 2. And this is a picture of the layout of Terrace House 2. Again, one big kind of building, and it would have this going up the hill. There'd be a walkway going up the hill on the side and entries into each of these individual residences. There'd also be some on this side and then some in the back. And each color would be a separate residence. Okay. Now, a couple of them, and I didn't put this picture, but a couple of them were two residents, but it originally been designed as one resident. So again, someone decided, well, we'll build a wall and we'll make this two residences. So, I mean, a lot of the same stuff that goes on today, right, it was going on then in terms of those kind of complexes. So now we're going inside, and this is, you can see, we're underneath the building now. And this is the kind of intricacy that's in those houses. Right, and the pillars and the flooring with diagrams and paintings on them. These all have frescoes and paintings and that kind of thing. And here's what it would have looked like. So they reproduced what it would have looked like before it was all ruins, and you can see here's some of these diagrams that are in paintings and tiling and that kind of stuff that were pictures kind of on your floor and then there were similar ones on the wall here. These would all be these various paintings and tiles. And then this is within a house. They had this huge, and this would have been kind of probably a worship area within the house, or a gathering area. The entrance to the house was just behind this guy, and so you'd walk in, and this would be kind of the first thing. This would be the atrium, the first thing you see as you went into that house. And you can see again the intricacy. Can you tell that that's a woman, the head of a woman, and all these little drawings, and those are the originals. I mean, those are still there. When when they dug it all out. And that's why they want to preserve this, and they put it under this big building, build a roof kind of building all around it. Pardon?
That's their wallpaper.
Yeah, that's like their wallpaper, exactly. And there's a close-up then of that same section. And then this would have been a little fountain, a decorative fountain in the atrium when you'd walk into the house. And again, it would have been very nicely decorated. This is all that's left of the ruins of the decorations, but it would have been very nicely decorated. Nice step. These are all, that's all marble, all right, that they had built that with. This is going up, here's the big building, this building been built over the top of it. And so this is looking down on one of the residences. And so you can see, this is kind of a hallway in the residence that would go to other rooms. There's rooms down at this level, there's rooms that are up at higher levels up here. And this is kind of looking at that same area from a different angle, but you can see there's rooms on the side, so I don't know whether those bedrooms or what those are over there. Then here's again some ruins within some of those rooms, and some of the things that are on the walls and on the floor. Here's a lion that they've put on the floor here, and you can see these just keep going up on these terraces to higher and higher levels. And then if you go back down here, you're going back. If you go that way, you're going back toward the street, the main street. And so here's a picture of that lion, and again the little frescoes or whatever you call it on the walls. And so that would be in a room, and then it's stepping into another room here. And then this is a different lion, there must have been something about the lions. This is another fresco of a lion, and that's seeing it from the other side. It was sitting there on the floor as well in a different room. And then again, this is just showing some of the rooms, and you can see all the paint. All these people are on the walls there, and the stuff, here. That was some sort of an oven kind of thing. So they also, I don't know if I have pictures of this. I did. I was thinking of that very thing. Those pillars, basically what would happen is they would flow hot water underneath those pillars, and then this would have a floor, okay? The floor's gone, but the floor would actually be on top of these pillars, all right? And so it would be kind of like a sauna or a steam room that they would build, and this is just in one of the houses. So they had their own fairly large steam room. I mean, so it'd be a gathering area. It'd be like the public baths. It's not a steam room where you go in as an individual. You have a group that goes in there, right? And takes advantage of that. And the way that water is heated is down below, there's a furnace that one of your slaves is stuffing the furnace full of wood or whatever to heat the water so your servants would be doing that work down underground here below the floor level where the water was, and then there'd be a floor level on top of those pillars where the people would be in the kind of steam room. Okay, so now we're going to go. What we did is we started at the bottom and then worked our way up and just wandered all through those buildings. I just shown you some of the pictures to give you a flavor of it. And then we went out the top, the back, up the hill. Okay, and so after we went out the top, I took this picture, kind of looking. You see, there's the building we were under where the houses was. And so we came out the back and then turned right. And so we came down the side. And then before we went down the hill, which is that kind of pathway beside the houses, I took this picture so you can see. So the library is right here. You can't see it very well right there. And then there's the street we came down is going this way. Okay, and is right in front of these buildings. And then you get down here and you make a right angle turn and you go this way to that stadium, that big theater that we'll eventually get to. Okay, and this is a similar picture, just a little closer up, zoomed in a little bit. And so the agora is down in here, kind of behind some of this stuff that you can't see, and the library is right there. You can't really see it. I'll show you pictures of that in a minute. And then this is this now the street going at 90 degree angle to that main street we were already on. So, you know, in the ancient days, you'd go down here, you'd be by the stadium, and then if you turn left, you go down that street all the way to the harbor or the bay, all right, where the ships were and all that. And you can see there's no water out there. It's just all land now. So the shoreline is many, many miles inland from there, or further out from there. Okay, so this is partway down. You can see we're going down the alleyway that's right beside where that terrace houses two were. So the alleyway would be where you'd go to get into your residence, because the residents were, some of them were on the side there too. So we're, you know, partway down here, and now you can start to see the agora. That's the agora, the shopping area, and you can see there would be pillars all the way around it like that, and then, you know, a pathway, there'd be shops and vendors set up all along here. This was double storied, so there'd be shops on both levels, and then this is a gateway, and then the library is hiding behind that plant, and there's the big stadium. So there's the library. So I'm now down at the bottom. So we've come down this pathway. The road that we started down goes this way, right? And so we came down it, we're going toward the library. Then right as you get to where I'm standing now, that's where you turn right and then go toward that huge stadium, okay? So this is the remains of the library, and that's a fairly famous picture. And then outside the library, these are two archways that you'd go through, and they had huge, beautiful decorations in them too. And then those would be the entry into the agora, okay? Now again, this library is the Library of Celsus. It was built, it wasn't there when Paul was there, it would have been later. I think it was right around the turn of the first and second century is when it was built. Paul would have been there in 60, or well, he would have been in Ephesus around 52 AD in the first century, and then he would have been writing to the Ephesians the letter in about 62 when he was in Rome.
Would everything be on scrolls in the library, or?
I assume so, yeah. Yeah, now I'll go kind of inside there. It's not as big as you might think. That was the entryway, and it has these, you can see the statues there. There's statues there, and so this was very intricate, what was on the pillars and all that. And again, it was multiple levels, the library was. And so this is what the library looked like. Here's the entryway, there's the pillars. There's where the statues were. This is the entryway, and then the library would be, inside the library would look like this, and there's again two levels within that library. And we're right there, that little building is the library, and then this is the agora right next to it. Here's the terrace house two, here's terrace house one, there's those baths with the toilets I showed you, here's the little musical stadium, and here's the big stadium. So, and this is kind of a depiction of what the library would have looked like when it was functional, all right? This is what it looks like kind of now. And so now that is the agora that you're looking at.
In 114 CE.
In the Christian era, yeah. 114.
Commemorate the Roman council and government, right. Tiberius Julius Celsus.
So that would have been about 50 years after, 60 years after Paul was there. Paul was there in 52, this would have been 114.
Excavated in 1903 and then restored in 1970.
Yeah. So this is now through there, through the agora, and so the shops would be all in here. This would be that big open area. And I assume they'd have vendors set up out there, kind of like when you go to the mall and they have the vendors outside the actual stores. I assume they did that too. Here you can kind of see then, this would be a walkway within the agora. That would go all the way around it, you know, in a square kind of thing. There'd be a walkway going every direction. The agora is over here, the forum, or agora, whatever you want to call it, is over here. So there would be shops on either side of these pillars. There would be a second level with shops on the second level as well, on top, you know, so on top of those pillars would be another level that would be built. And those pillars would have gone all the way around. Now, right now, they're mostly just on this side going toward that big stadium. The other three sides, there's not really much left of it. It's just, here it is, it's a big open field. You can see some of the pillars are still there, but it's this big open area. Which is the gathering area for the city. I mean, that's where you'd go to socialize and to shop and to, you know, you'd probably, you know, spend some time in the baths while you're there and et cetera. So this is then a depiction of what it would have looked like, the agora, with these, these are all the columns, and you could walk all the way around it. There'd be shops all along here on either side, and there'd be a second level of shops as well on top of them. It's kind of like a big mall. And so here's a picture of it when they're first starting to excavate that. Here's the library. You can see the part of the library sticking up there. This would be an entryway to the agora from the other angle. You know, they had those archways here that you went in. And I'm not sure where this would be, whether that'd be over on this, probably over on this side, I would guess, is where that was. I wouldn't think it'd be back here because that's kind of, you know, the main drag of the city is on the other side. So here's the main drag. So we came down this road here. There's the building that's over the Terrace House 2. And then we turn right at 90 degrees. And then the big stadium is down that road this way. Okay, so now what I've done is the roadway we were first on is going along here. Behind everything, we then turned right and we're going down this roadway. This is the agora now, and I'm now looking back. There's the library, I'm looking back on it. There's the terrace houses that we were under, looking back on it. So that big, huge stadium is behind me, and in front of me, there's the archways that went into the agora. There's the library on the other side. And so I'm looking back, and these were just, again, these kind of things were all over the place. Just remnants of pillars and everything else that they found, and sewer lines. I mean, it was everything, and they were kind of all over the place during your whole visit. So now we're to that stadium, and this would have been the pathway, this with the pillars and how this wide, that's the pathway all the way down to the harbor. Okay, that would be the road that went to the harbor, that you'd come up from the harbor, and you come up to the harbor, and you're right at that huge stadium. That's there. This isn't the music hall one. It was a lot smaller than this. Hopefully you can tell. And so now, so the Temple of Artemis, so as I come this way from the harbor, I turn right to go to the agora and the library, and then turn left from there to go up by the houses and all that. Or if I got here, once I got to the stadium and I turned left, I'd be going headed toward the Temple of Artemis. Okay. And so I wanted to show you a picture. This is a scale model. Here's that other guide. I think I had a picture of him earlier. I forgot to mention it. But he's the quote Ephesian expert. And so he kind of gave us a lot of insights along with our regular guide as we were going through this. So anyway, this is inside the museum part that I mentioned was up there. And this is a model, a scale model of the agora, of the Temple of Artemis, which was one of the seven wonders of the world. So that's how elaborate and unbelievable this thing was in real life. It had all these pillars and everything. And I'm looking from the front of the building and took a picture in, and inside, there's this little, they've got a little statue of Artemis there that would have been a big statue back in that day. So you could see Artemis as you were walking up the stairs to go into the temple. And so this is the width part. And then the length would be going that direction. I'll show you a picture then of the whole thing. There's the whole thing. So here's where you'd go up those stairs and in that door. And then in the back here would be that statue of Artemis that you could see from the stairway here. And you can also, they have a hole in the roof here. That wasn't really there. They have a hole in the roof here that so you can look down and see that little statue in there too, rather than having to bend over and take a picture like I did. But you can see the stairs that go all the way around it, and just the elaborateness of the roof and the pillars and the inside must have been unbelievable as well. And like I say, it was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. So this was a major deal in Ephesus. And we'll when we remember, if you remember what happened in Ephesus, there was a big uproar because Paul was converting so many people. They stopped buying the statues of Artemis and all the stuff that the vendors there were making a fortune on, and they were starting to lose money. And so they rioted, basically. They had a riot in Ephesus over this because they were saying, we can't lose our connection to Artemis. That's our whole identity as a city. And of course, the vendors just wanted it because of the money they were getting from it. So they're the ones who protested. And then that probably happened in that big stadium, is where what's described. It talks about a lecture hall that Paul went to after he talked to the Jews in the synagogue. There was a big Jewish contingent in Ephesus. And so he spent a few months talking to the Jews, and then they kind of, you know, weren't responsive. So he started taking the ones that were responsive with him to another location and started preaching to the Gentiles as well there in the city in a lecture hall. Some probably wealthy guy there that he knew, Tyrannus, that he knew there in Ephesus, let him use his lecture hall since he was kind of kicked out of the synagogue. So anyway, we'll look at that again next week. But this is that temple, very important to this city. And so you'll understand a little more when we look at Acts next week why this was such a big deal. This was a big deal for Ephesus. Everyone worldwide knew that's where the temple of Artemis was. And that's where the heart of the worship of Artemis was. And there was some good, you know, a lot of the Roman stuff is, and the baths and the, you know, the worship of pagan gods and all that was all about, you know, sexual relationships and prostitutes. And, you know, you've probably read about a lot of those kind of, this is nothing like that. Artemis was a virgin. All right, so this had no sexual overtones, no, it was all kind of pure, all about purity and chastity and all that. So in a sense, you know, their worship of Artemis was much more, what you'd call it, moralistic or more pure and that kind of thing, even though, of course, Artemis isn't a real god or goddess. So it wasn't this ugly, evil, satanic kind of stuff. It was healthy, wholesome kind of teaching that was surrounding Artemis. She was the goddess of the hunt, the goddess of nature, the goddess of animals, and everything that was good and in the creation kind of thing. So, and she, you know, she stood her ground when other gods were trying to seduce her and that kind of thing. She would not relent. She stayed a virgin. So anyway, that's the temple view of it. Now there's a statue of Artemis. There were a lot of these found, little wooden ones that were found as they did the excavation. And that's what Paul's talking about, or Acts is talking about, when Demetrius and everyone else who sells those things, they carved them and then they'd sell them and they make all this money off of them, and they were losing sales because a lot of people weren't buying them anymore. And so these are this is actually a statue, you know, kind of, you know, a cast statue and cement or whatever they make them out of. But there were all sorts of wooden handheld kind of depictions of Artemis that were found as they excavated. No one really knows what these things are. There have been all sorts of people conjectured. They've never found any documentation of it. And that seems to, I think that tends to be unique to Ephesus's depiction of Artemis. Other depictions of Artemis don't show that. So some people said, well, they're you know, because of her, she was the goddess of chastity and all that, and so, but she was also kind of the goddess of fertility, right, with nature and all that. So in a sense, her children were the animals and nature and all that kind of stuff. So some people said, well, these are breasts, And I guess there's some where there's a fountain and water comes out of each one of those into a fountain at her feet and all that. So some people said, well, those are breasts, but they don't really look like they would be breasts. And I you know, that doesn't make. And a lot of people say, well, why would they have that? That wouldn't be for a chaste virgin kind of depiction. Why would they do that? Now, other people say that because she was a virgin and was, you know, chaste and all that kind of stuff, that what those are, and this is what more people, I think, believe is probably true, that these are bulls' testicles. Because bulls back then were a sign of virility, okay, as opposed to chastity, right? They were very virile. And so, in a sense, this was her kind of combination of virility in spite of the fact that she was a virgin. So I'm not sure quite how you tie those together, but that's what some people tie together, that these are actually, and that's what our guide said, that these are bull's testicles. That's what they really are representing. And they do kind of look like bull's testicles. So that may again be because she was the goddess of the hunt and the goddess of animals and all that. And so in that sense, she was very virile. But in terms of her own sexual orientation and activities, she was a virgin. Okay, so she wasn't she was a very chaste goddess. So there's another depiction of her. Yeah, no, and there's usually animals around her because she was the goddess of the hunt and the goddess of animals and all that kind of stuff as well. Okay, and so now we move on to Miletus, which we aren't going to talk about. Miletus, I don't know if you remember, I showed you these pictures when we went through the life of Paul. Miletus is a bunch of ruins. There's not a lot. There is a big stadium. Yeah, there's the stadium. And the theater there in Miletus. Miletus was quite a way south of Ephesus. And I don't remember if you remember when Paul, on his second missionary journey, was heading home, or on his third missionary journey, I'm sorry, on his third missionary, when he was heading home, he wanted to get to Jerusalem before the Passover, or before the Pentecost. He was trying to get there before Pentecost. And because he wanted to get there before Pentecost, he had spent, at the beginning of that missionary journey, he had spent over 2 years, 2 to 3 years in Ephesus. So he was very entrenched in that church. And they, you know, loved him dearly and all that. And so he spent all that time at the beginning of the journey. Then he went over to Macedonia and over to Corinth and Colossae and Philippi and Thessalonica. He went through all of those again, over to Greece and over to Macedonia. And then when he came back, he was going to sail. And so he was, because he was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem, well, they were going to kill him, if you remember. If he was going to get on a ship, they were going to kill him on the way to the ship. So he ended up going back overland, back through Macedonia and everything else, which then took a lot more time. And so now he's really pressing it to get back to Jerusalem by Pentecost. And so then when he gets in a ship, he bypasses Ephesus. And he does it on purpose. He said, I don't want to go to Ephesus because he'd get bogged down and he'd never make it then. And so what he did is he went to Miletus, which is south of Ephesus a ways, but within walk, you know, in those days, what we'd call walking distance, probably you guys, you know, wouldn't call it walking distance. But any rate, and then he summoned the elders, if you remember, of Ephesus, and he said, come down to Miletus and I want to give you a farewell and meet with you. And so he gave them kind of a lengthy farewell. So he didn't meet with the church in Ephesus, but he met with the elders from the church of Ephesus who came down to visit him while he's in Miletus. So any questions or is that helpful to kind of get that view of everything? And then to just try to remember this. I'll try to remember to bring them back in case we want to refer back to any of this when we're going through, particularly next week. So next week what we'll do is we'll start our look at Ephesus by not looking at Ephesians at first, but instead looking at the book of Acts. And we'll review everything Paul did in Ephesus in the book of Acts. It shouldn't take us too long. And then hopefully we can do that fairly quickly next week. And then we'll start on an overview of the whole book. And I've got three main themes that I've drawn from the book. And I'll give you a handout. And so, and within each of those three main themes, and they're in order, kind of, they're somewhat scattered throughout the book, but mostly theme one is early, like the first three chapters. Theme two is like four and five. And then theme number three is the sixth chapter, okay? And those are clear. You'll see that. But pieces of each of those are kind of scattered throughout as well, because he keeps referring to various things. So there's three main themes or three main concepts that Paul's trying to get across in this book, and they all build one to the other in terms of your Christian faith and your Christian walk. So I'll give you an example of those. And what I've done is, I think this is of God. I wasn't purposely trying to make this work out, although I did kind of stretch the last one by dividing what I would have been going to put as one item down to two items so that it would come out. But the other two just magically came out that way as I was just jotting them down as I was going through the book and kind of putting the summary together. There's seven sub-issues within each one of those 3 points. And of course, seven is God's number of perfection, okay? And it's all about the Christian walk and the Christian faith and how we walk the Christian life and live the Christian life. And there's seven aspects of each one of those 3 points. That had to be God ordained that just happened that way. Other than, like I said, I stretched the third one a little bit. I only had, like, I think five, and I took two of them and broke. And when I looked at it, I said, well, really, those shouldn't be together. They should be separate. And so I made them, and so then I ended up with seven there too. Well, let's close in prayer then. Father God, it's just so interesting as we look at archaeology and how it just tends to over and over again prove the reliability and the accuracy of Scripture and the reality of who you are, God, and that that all these other gods are just false gods, but God, you are real, a living God who cares deeply about us. And Father, as we go through and study the book of Ephesians, we just pray that we will take it to heart and incorporate it into our lives as we try to live the Christian life, as Paul instructs the Ephesians to do. In this book. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Bill, I think it's amazing how much